America, it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to you. And good morning. This is Freedom Frenzy. My name's Jerry DeMars, and I'm joined by Jenny Hodges, my loyal and faithful co-host. And today, I think we're going to have probably one of the most extraordinary programs that we've ever put on while we've been associated with Republic Broadcasting Network. If you've tuned in to hear our interview with Mr. David Champion, he'll come on board at the bottom of this first half hour, and we'll go from there. And I told Dave when I talked to him on the telephone last week, we'll just go till we get sick of one another, or one of us gets sick of the other first. So we'll let that go.
Well, Jerry, the best show ever. No pressure, Dave.
Well, I got a feeling. I got a feeling, owing to the subsequent promotion for Dave's presence on our program today, that we're going to have a lot of people tune in that may not even have known about Republic Broadcasting Network. That's why I think that it's probably going to be one of the more important ones. So,
well, I think the issue of taxation and what he's dealing with, you know, this is what I love about Freedom Frenzy, because we bring on people that have written the blueprint, are using the blueprint, and then also getting to test to see if the blueprint really works. So, it's going to be a fun interview. Definitely all my brother-in-laws were very excited, and the emails were flying back and forth between my husband and his brothers. He has four brothers. And this issue of taxation is front and center for all of them.
It should be front and center for every American.
Absolutely,
and, you know,
Jerry.
Too many have been indoctrinated into the communist mindset of paying their quote-unquote fair share. And that's really about as un-American in the concept of taxation as one could possibly get. It's insane. But, you know, let's wait till we get Dave on board with us before we go attacking that beast.
Yes, let's talk about something romantic, like what you're doing for Elaine on Valentine's Day.
Well, I took her to dinner last night, but, you know, we haven't really discussed it. We really haven't. You know, she got in from Brooklyn, New York last night. She'd been gone for a little over 2 weeks looking after my daughter, who'd had some surgery. And I picked her up at the airport. And we stopped on the way home in Noonan, Georgia, yesterday evening, and had a very, very pleasant dinner. And we got home and had some wine, and you don't need to know the rest.
Yeah, please don't. That's all. We won't even imagine. We'll just let that go.
Well, let's talk about some other newsy stuff that we can cover before we have to cut away to this first break, which we're hard on in just a few minutes. How about the outcome of the presidential poll at CPAC?
Oh, Jerry, I am so excited about that. And really, I wish, if for no other reason, I had gotten a ticket and flown up there for that event just so I could boo Rumsfeld. That would have been But yeah. Yes, tell us about who won, Jerry, and
well,
I was throwing
that tennis ball at you, dear, but I'll do it. I'll do it. Dr. Ron Paul came in first in the presidential preference poll at CPAC this weekend, and it was almost a redo insofar as 1 and 2 in that poll, because Mitt Romney, socialist from the state of Massachusetts, came in second, which kind of makes me wonder, what were the so-called conservative people at CPAC thinking? How can they call themselves conservative and support somebody like Mitt Romney? That's insane, because, you know, he had a health care program that he shoved down the people's throats in the state of Massachusetts that didn't work either. We're going to cut away to that first break, and when we come back, it'll be time for Hit and Run News. Don't go away.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with Lays Med Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.laysmedinc.com on the web. That's www.laysemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Have you heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try new Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
All right, comrades, it's time for Hit and Run News. And in what I feel obligated to tell you is about time, the harried state of Arizona, faced with a growing number of lawsuits seeking to strike down that state's anti-immigration policies, and of course they're seen harsh as some, or by some rather, and that's in light of the fact that Arizona's anti-immigration policies actually mirror in a great degree federal law that's not being prosecuted. Anyway, the state of Arizona has decided that a much needed legal counterattack was in order and has now filed suit against the federal government in the Justice Department's foray against Arizona's bill SB 1070. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, in the suit announcement this past Thursday, assailed the federal government for failing in large measure to enforce federal immigration laws, failing to protect the state of Arizona from what must be clearly labeled an invasion along Arizona's border with Mexico, allowing the southern half of the state to face a growing level of violence. Brewer told the news conference, "Because the federal government has failed to protect the citizens of Arizona, I am left with no choice. We did not want this fight. We did not start this fight. But now that we're in it, Arizona will not rest until our border is secured and federal immigration laws are enforced. The federal government has effectively conceded its inability to protect Arizona and its citizens from criminal activities associated with illegal aliens," Brewer said in the filing. "Within the last year, the federal government has placed warning signs in the desert, 80 miles north of the border and only 30 miles south of Phoenix, warning people to stay away from that area." Arizona is also appealing United States District Judge Susan Bolton's 2010 injunction on the portion of SB 1070 that empowered law enforcement officers to detain anyone they had reasonable suspicion to believe was in the state illegally. SB 1070, which Brewer signed into law last April, made it a state crime to be an undocumented immigrant and expanded law enforcement officers' powers to question people about their immigration status while they were enforcing local and state law or even civil code. Back to you, dear.
Wow. Well, that's an interesting story, Jerry. I've got one on the swine flu vaccine. I've previously reported that the swine flu vaccine was linked to an 800% increase in miscarriage this past year. Well, now the swine flu vaccine is linked to a 900% increased risk of developing narcolepsy.
Wow.
The World Health Organization is currently investigating reports from 12 different countries claiming that the H1N1 swine flu vaccination is responsible for causing narcolepsy, a disorder involving extreme chronic fatigue and the tendency to fall asleep suddenly and without warning. Boy, my dad, I don't think my dad has ever gotten a swine flu vaccine, but the tendency to fall asleep suddenly and without warning is my dad. One of the reports from Finland, that was a side note, one of the reports from Finland, for instance, found that children who received the swine flu vaccine were 900% more likely to develop narcolepsy than non-vaccinated children. Since August 2010, following widespread use of vaccines against influenza, 2009 cases of narcolepsy, especially in children and adolescents, have been reported from at least 12 countries. Officials admit the concerns are valid, and they say they will look into them further. But who continues to recommend swine flu vaccines anyway? And the whole inbred relationship between drug companies who have recently been exposed for putting pressure on who to declare the pandemic of H1N1 in order to push their vaccines, that alone should frighten the people of the world. GlaxoSmithKline's Pandemix raked in over $1.4 billion as a result of the H1N1 scare campaign. So we're talking about big bucks for pharmaceutical companies. And this connection to narcolepsy should be the first sign that massive numbers of lawsuits will be filed against the pharmaceutical companies who sold the H1N1 vaccine. But unfortunately, Jerry, a lot of state governments and national law and international law provides immunity for these pharmaceutical companies.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Anyway, you really, if you go into a store that has a sign advertising the flu vaccine or the swine flu vaccine, you really should go into the store, ask for the manager, and give them hell. So they start getting uncomfortable about putting the signs for flu vaccines up. And also find out who's paying them to put those signs up. Just like that one listener, Jerry, who had his sister had been paid, she and her co-host had been offered $500 from a Walgreens to get the flu shot.
Yeah, the radio station in St. Louis, as I recall.
Yes. We need to start making these people uncomfortable and making them realize they're under the spotlight. So humiliate your children by reaming out the manager at the stores you go into with flu shot signs. I couldn't resist that added bit. All right, your turn, Jerry.
Okay, I guess you've noticed that the Algerians are now moving down the path that the Egyptian populace did, seeking a more democratic form of government. Like in Egypt, the Algerian government has shut down the internet and Facebook, curiously. We ought to be thinking about the fact that the American government wants to bestow upon itself the power to do exactly that, shut down the internet, and they're offering some rather inane reasons to give themselves that power. However, unlike the recent toppling of the government in Egypt, it seems as though the Algerian government, apparently not recognizing the right of the people to have self-determination, has been reacting quite violently, using a reported 28,000 to 30,000 riot police in response to demonstrations in Algiers. I wonder if the Egyptians have set a record insofar as toppling a government in a largely peaceful fashion, and the Algerians are hard-pressed to match that. We'll watch. We'll watch. This seems to be shaking that part of the globe, and we can only expect that, you know, it's just like the Egyptians did. They disengaged the government. You have no government if the people do not do what you want them to do. There is no government. Even though those people up there have got uniforms and they think that they've got all this power.
Costumes.
Costumes. If the people disengage, they have no authority.
That's exactly right.
And it's only a matter of time before it collapses. I hope hope everybody's taking note. Back to you, dear.
Well, 2 months after lawmakers ordered the U.S. Transportation Security Administration to release safety reports about the levels of radiation being emitted by baggage x-ray machines, naked body scanners, and other airport security equipment, the agency has yet to make this information public. I know you're shocked, Jerry. The reports, which remain in the hands of TSA officials, are allegedly being retained to protect sensitive security or privacy-protected information. TSA refused to release safety inspection reports back in December of 2010, shortly after USA Today petitioned the agency to release them. TSA workers and travelers have continued to file numerous complaints about radiation exposure, not only from the new machinery, but also from faulty and poorly maintained machinery. TSA responded by insisting the machines have all passed safety inspections, but it refused to provide any trace of evidence for this claim. The public has a right to know, and there isn't something so sensitive that requires holding it back, said Representative Jason Chavetz, a Republican from Utah, who recently sponsored legislation to limit the use of full-body scanning machines. TSA officials routinely insist that its scanning machines are all safe and that no malfunctions have ever caused an actual or potential additional radiation exposure. But a 2008 report issued by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control says that not only do TSA contractors routinely fail to properly inspect and maintain machinery, but malfunctioning machinery does indeed emit excess radiation, exposing workers and passengers to unknown levels of harm.
Yeah, and how much radiation is too much?
You know, I can't give you that.
Or how little radiation is too much? And why do they, when you go to the doctor and you need to have an x-ray for something, why do they hide behind that lead-lined wall when they're doing that?
Yes, this is all a very good question. Well, the last bit here is TSA falsely insists that the electromagnetic wave versions of its naked body scanners are completely harmless, even though scientific tests have shown that the tetrahertz waves used in such machinery causes significant DNA damage. And Jerry, what's interesting to me is that the people who are getting a paycheck by being TSA agents, and their job is to violate the liberty of the people, they are getting an immense amount of radiation, and if you don't think that's going to come back to bite you in the keister, you are dead wrong. No pun intended.
Well, you know, as a side note here, when Elaine flew out of the Hartsfield, Atlanta airport to go to New York, she didn't have to go through that backscatter scanner. As a matter of fact, they weren't even operating them. And then when she left New York yesterday afternoon, she flew out of JFK, and they weren't using them there either. So I'm kind of wondering if this hasn't all this attention and growing amount of notoriety insofar as the damage or perceived damage, let's be honest, that the backscatter machines offer hasn't somehow or another had a backfire effect that they're having to deal with.
Wow, maybe they're just quietly lessening the number of days that they use them just to get everybody to calm down and give them more time to be desensitized.
Perhaps, but I don't know that that's something that you could necessarily be desensitized to. I really don't. And, you know, you're either going to glow in the dark or you're not, and you're either going to have your DNA damaged or you're not. And most people, you know, faced with that choice should opt out. We're going to cut away to a break.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
See, I told you we'd be back, and here we are. I've got another news story that I think illustrates the fact that the individual states in the union are beginning to get a little bit more chafed with federal hegemony that's being exerted on them. Montana is looking at a bill that will establish penalties for federal officials who violate state law. And I know there's a couple of you listeners out there that have been talking about trying to get initiatives going on in your state. Georgia is one of the ones that we're hearing about. And this might be a model that could be used to develop an appropriate piece of legislation. Anyway, lawmakers in the state of Montana who initiated the idea of the Firearms Freedom Act to declare guns made, sold, and kept in the state of Montana exempt from federal regulations now want to beef up that plan. They want penalties to apply to any official, agent, or employee of the federal government who, and I quote, who purposefully and knowingly enforces a law, regulation, or order of the United States relating to a personal firearm, firearm accessory, or ammunition manufactured in this state. Their plan is a penalty upon misdemeanor conviction of a term of imprisonment in a county jail for not more than 1 year, fines accruing or not to exceed $2,000, or both. This idea follows closely the outline of a provision adopted by the state of Wyoming when lawmakers there originally approved their own Firearms Freedom Act that included penalties for any agent of the United States who enforces or attempts to enforce federal gun rules on a personal firearm. Wyoming's penalties, however, for these related infractions are a little bit stiffer. The cost there would be up to 2 years in prison and $2,000 for an offender. So I think that that's more evidence that we're seeing a little bit more kicking back by the states, which is very, very healthy. And you know, we had Tom Woods on here a while back and talking about nullification. Mm-hmm. This would go talon and gauntlet with exactly that.
Yeah, I'm always in favor of something to undermine the federal government, Jerry. I think it'd be fun to bash around the CPAC event a little bit, because Ron Paul won for the second year in a row by 30%, the presidential poll, which I think is just so fantastic. And, you know, one of the things my husband and I were discussing about Ron Paul is how much more polished he is than when he first ran for president. He kind of seems to be, I guess, making good use of the energy and the charisma and the enthusiasm of America and that sector of America that has not yet lost our minds or we're in the process of regaining them. Apparently, Donald Trump kind of flicked boogers at Ron Paul's straw poll win, saying Ron Paul can never win the presidency. Well, I loved Ron's response. He responded with, "I was elected 11 times. And somebody said, "Well, how many times has Donald Trump been elected? Who's he to criticize who's electable and who's unelectable?"
Mm-hmm.
So I think the next 2 years, Jerry, is going to be fun. I'm kind of hoping, and I don't know what you think about this, do you think there's any possibility of our seeing a Ron, Rand, Paul presidential ticket?
Ooh, I don't think that would be very wise, because, I just don't. I don't think that you would. The ticket would need a little bit more balance than that, I think.
Really?
Because wow, I wish you'd called just a smidgen earlier. We've got Ahmed from Egypt back again. Do you want to go ahead and try to take this?
Yeah, let's give it a shot. Ahmed, we're only going to be able to give you about a minute and a half here because we've got Dave Champion coming on as our guest. But please, by all means, welcome to Freedom Frenzy. And what do you have on your mind?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, well.
Yeah.
So give us the update from Egypt and what's going on and how you feel about the current circumstances.
Now, everybody in Egypt have good feeling about the changes which happened on the authority in Egypt, and everybody have his dignity back.
Are you free, Ahmed? Are you free, though? You've got the military functioning as your government now.
How do you
know that you've not exchanged one dictator for a brand new one?
I think they have no use to do that. I think they don't need to do that.
I would hope that you didn't do that, but I'm not sure that there's any safeguards in place to keep that from occurring.
Yeah, that's kind of what we want to know, Ahmed. You know, here we're excited that one dictator's been taken down, but what's to keep another dictator from coming up? What safeguards are the people who caused the dismantling of the government, what are they doing to take control of it? Because right now, as I understand it, the military is controlling things. Are the people still as powerless to become the, driving force behind the future of Egypt?
I think the... I think it's a place of liberty, which has the revolution, will not go and let the place.
Ahmed, I hate to jump in here, but we're going to have to cut away to a break. Would you please call back tomorrow and ask any of your friends that speak English to call as well?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Shocking, terrifying, but very truthful and revealing. Finally, a documentary on the horrifying results of unopposed estrogen. Estrogen dominance. Are we writing our own epitaph? I urge you to go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner and watch the documentary, The Disappearing Male. To my knowledge, this is the first documentary about the threat that unopposed estrogen poses to our survival as a species. It's a real eye-opener. But the documentary gives no solution to the problem. We have the solution. If we don't get the progesterone message to the younger generation, especially the young women, our very survival is in jeopardy. Again, that website is www.republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the HealthLink America banner. After viewing, please visit our website, www.healthlinkamerica.org.
All right, comrades, we're back. And as promised, our guest today, who really doesn't need any introduction in this particular forum, is a radio personality, gun rights advocate, and in the focus of today's show, a harsh critic of the slavery tax system, as the income tax should really be called, as well as an individual conversant in ways that the immoral and illegitimate taxation might be minimized. So without any further ado, may I introduce to you Mr. Dave Champion. Welcome aboard, Dave.
Thank you, Jerry. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How about you?
Lovely. Always a beautiful day.
Well, generally speaking, when it's the only one you have to work with, it's beautiful. So,
well, I live in Southern Nevada, so I think I have the edge on some of you as far as the weather today.
I was going to say, that's a lot of optimism for winter time. You must be so sunny.
Well, it's supposed to get up in the high 60s here today. You know, when you live in south of the Mason-Dixon line, the weather seems to be a little bit more erratic, but I think we're blessed with more beneficial and beautiful weather than you get north of the Mason-Dixon line.
True. Well, it's good to talk to you two again.
Well, it's good.
Yeah,
to
I'm very excited about today's show, Dave, and to hear everything that you're doing. And I'll tell you, my brother-in-laws are big-time fans of yours. So thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, Dave, let's cut to the chase. I've read the complaint against you filed by the DOJ out there in California. And since you have actually found yourself under fire, two thoughts in that came to me after reading that complaint. One, without the word frivolous, as it is employed nearly as an instrument of combat, they wouldn't really have nearly as much to say about you. And two, the IRS and subsequently the DOJ, they don't hold you in very high regard. Have you damaged their fraudulent extraction scheme to that great of an extent?
I hope so. You know, it's in my book, Income Tax Shattering the Myths, one of the things I say, there's a special page that I inserted about whether or not I intend to harm the United States government, because that's one of the claims that the government likes to make when they bring these type of suits. And I express that if I intend to harm, if they mean harm in the sense that I mean to hurt individual Americans who are seeking greater degrees of liberty and support them in knowing what the truth is, then I'm not trying to harm anybody. If they mean by harm that I'm trying to end the largest financial crime in the history of the world, which involves outright lying to the American people every single day and stealing their property under the guise of law, then yes, I intend to hurt the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
So that has always been my goal, but it's I've often said, Jerry, that I think that our allegiance to our government should only be in the correlation to the government's respect for our unalienable rights.
Yeah, exactly.
So when the government is doing something which is, again, the way I characterize in the book, the largest financial crime in the history of the world, and it is intentional, and they know it, and they promote it, and they put people in jail for not participating in their fraud, I hope I've done a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think it was the book in general, or have they been sniffing around you for a while now, Dave?
They've been sniffing around me for a while. I'm sure the book put a fire under their rear ends to do something.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to do a little something about 3.5 years ago, drug me into court in California like they want to do again now, and that didn't work out so well for them. They didn't get what they were after. So I think the two attorneys from USDOJ that handled that case probably were red-faced when they went back to D.C. because it was one of the only cases in their career of this that they had not gotten what they wanted.
Wow.
So I'm sure they were a little red-faced, a little embarrassed, and they probably took some time to ponder where they wanted to go next with me. I think the book coming out in June, clearly, if they put me on the back burner, decided to look at something else first, I'm sure the book coming out put a fire under their rear ends again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'll notice if you read the complaint, Jerry, the allegations are based on four individuals claiming that what I did, if we distill it down to language that the average person can understand, that in reference to these four people, they are taxpayers, and I somehow led them astray. I was the Pied Piper. They followed my magical flute, and that I've in doing so, I hurt them and I hurt the United States. Would you concur, having read the complaint, that that's the essence
yes,
of it?
Yeah, that definitely seems to be.
I would say that applies probably in three out of the four instances that I read about, Dave.
Uh-huh.
The involvement with Richard or Dick Sim Cannon, I don't think quite fits that. Now,
Cannon didn't follow any of my advice. He and I worked together for like 3 months, years before he ever got in trouble.
Well, see,
I'm kind of curious because the whole case against you is just an injunction. It's not, they're not suing you for damages.
They want to silence me.
Yes.
Right. Do you think this guy was a plant?
Do I think what?
This individual with whom you were working and is cited on this, the case brought against you, do you think he was a plant?
Which one are you referring to? Because they named several people.
Jerry, tell me, I'm sorry, I haven't got all my notes up in front of me, but
Well, I don't,
was,
I don't, I don't have the complaint in front of me, and I don't have the names. I don't have the names. I didn't know you were going to go here.
Go ahead, Dave. The individuals that were named in this case that the Department of Justice has brought against you, do you think that any of them were plants in terms of working with you, seeking your guidance, seeking your help? Or do you think that these were just individuals that were angry with you and wanted to fight back? How did the Department of Justice go about trying to get you this time?
Well, let me tell you how thin this matter is. To answer your question, and then I'll give a little background, no, I don't believe any of them were plants. There are four people mentioned in the action.
Yeah.
Three are men, one is a woman. The three men are close personal friends of mine. The female that's mentioned is the wife of one of those men. None of those men that I'm aware, I've only spoken to two out of the three men since I received the documents. Two of the three have assured me that they didn't give testimony, and they haven't cooperated with the government in anything concerning me. And again, we're very close friends, and when they say that, I would never doubt them. I know their character and their integrity.
Okay.
The third gentleman, I think, is in a little different position. We were friends for 20 years, and, the government years ago put together a little, we'll call it a legal hit team to come after Dave Champion. It's the same guys. I see them all the time. They're on the same paperwork. The same guy drives out and serves me every time. And, hey, how you doing, Dave? I mean, it's like we're old buddies now. So
I love it.
Yeah. So there was a gentleman by the name of Thomas Chung. That's a pseudonym, by the way. He admitted that in court papers. He was the public face. He was the face that they showed me. There's a whole bunch of people on the team, but he was the public face of it. And Thomas Chung started showing up at this one friend of mine's business and pestering him. And my friend became very, he got anxiety ridden over the fact that he was suddenly on their radar screen, and, you know, he thought he was safe and out of the picture, and it was actually something that a company he was doing business had done that created this problem for him. It had nothing to do with he or I. But nevertheless, my name came up in that discussion that was unrelated, and as soon as my name came up and the IRS put my name in the computer, then the hit team came and they started talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he became very, very anxiety-ridden, and I said, look, if you'd like to talk to an attorney, if that would make you feel better to protect your interests, you know, I'm certainly the first guy in the world to support a friend who is feeling stressed and anxiety-ridden. So I gave him the name of a couple of attorneys, and I know which one he ended up speaking with. And it was an unfortunate situation, because in order to secure a client, the attorney essentially scared the bejesus out of him. And told him that, you better watch out. You better hire me right now. You better give me $50,000 today, or the next thing that's going to happen is they're going to put you on trial. Which, right. none of those things were true. But nevertheless, it was an unfortunate way of garnering a client. And after my friend's second conversation with that attorney, that friend has ceased all contact with me. So. Now, mind you, this is a 20-year friend. So,
yikes, Dave.
Yes. What he has said and what he has done, I have no idea. As long as he tells the truth, I'm not concerned. If we have to get him on the stand, as long as he tells the truth, I'm not concerned. I am only concerned that out of fear, he may be compelled to say things that are not the truth. And then that's where I have my concerns. For instance, the first two gentlemen that I've already spoken to, these guys, you could put them on the rack and pull their fingernails out with pliers, and they're going to tell the truth. The third gentleman that discontinued contact with me a few years back, who knows whether he'll tell the truth or not. Let me give you an example of what I mean by telling the truth. The IRS avers that I am somehow, again, the Pied Piper, that I'm telling people they don't owe taxes. I never tell anybody that for a number of reasons. First of all, it's illegal. I am not an attorney. I can't give legal advice. And giving legal advice when you are not an attorney is criminalized in most of the states of the union. Secondly, it's not appropriate for me to tell a fellow American whether he owes the tax or not. That's a very personal decision and one that I have no moral or legal basis to make.
Mm-hmm.
So when I work with somebody, I ask them what their determination is, what determination they have reached. If they tell me I have reached the determination that Congress has not imposed the income tax on a class of person into which I fall, I say, okay, fine. Then if you would like me to, I will be happy to help you live in this society where nobody understands what you just said. If
right.
they say, well, after investigating everything, I have determined that I am within a class of person that the tax has been imposed upon, I say, thank you very much. That's wonderful. I'm not going to be able to work with you. You need to go work with a CPA or an enrolled agent or somebody like that because you've decided that you're a taxpayer and I have nothing to do with taxpayers. So you see, I don't tell anybody anything. I don't lead them down the road. I don't attempt to influence them in any way. I simply say, if you've made a determination, it's like saying my garbage disposal doesn't work anymore. I need to get a handyman.
Mm-hmm.
The handyman didn't tell you your garbage disposal wasn't working. You sought the handyman out because you'd already made the determination that it wasn't working.
Right.
So, but the government would have you believe that I'm telling people, oh, you better hire me because I'm telling you your garbage disposal doesn't work.
Now,
so in essence, Dave, what we could say here is the government's actions actually constitute an infringement on the right of free parties to contract.
Yes, so that's very astute observation, Jerry. Now, here's the kicker. The government views the tax system as a closed loop. Either you are in it or you are out.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in it, then there are only certain people who can represent you or counsel you concerning taxation. If you are a person that is a taxpayer, then you can be counseled by enrolled agents, accountants, CPAs, tax attorneys, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So what the government is trying to contend here is that I have gone into this closed loop, and I have kicked my clumsy feet around in that closed loop, and I have drugged people out of the loop by their shirt collar, and I have told them, no, you're going to stand outside now. You're going to stand in this other environment now because I say so. And that they really didn't want to be there. They didn't really believe that. Now, what's the basis of all this? They didn't really believe it. Well, in each of these four cases that they named, the individuals went back and filed taxes after years and years of knowing the truth and not filing. They went back and filed because they were being accosted so harshly by the IRS.
Could you elaborate on that, what you're calling this harsh treatment by IRS just to get them to
yeah.
file?
Yes. The process of telling them you are a taxpayer no matter what you've read, no matter what you've researched, no matter what you've found, and that we are going to take everything you own and destroy your life if you don't do what we say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, in the case of that one gentleman and his wife, the one that I've not spoken to in some time now, I don't mean to make excuses for somebody, but I know that that attorney really did everybody a disservice in this by using the tactic of terrorizing somebody in order to extract $50,000 from him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The other two gentlemen were in a position where they had a lot on the line. They both have wives and children. And the conclusion they came to, I think, is interesting. They never did, to this day, because again, I spoke to them in the last few days, they still believe with every shred of their being that they are not within a class of person upon whom Congress has imposed the tax. But the determination that they came to was that, and one gentleman said, if I knew then being back in 2000, what I know now, I probably would have kept filing. And I said, what is it you know now? And he said that the United States government does not care of what the law says.
Yeah. That's plainly obvious.
Well, now I can't imagine not having realized that 10 years ago as opposed to now. But that is a good mental chew toy for the rest of us, because some of the people who listen to our program are not taxpayers. Some of them are taxpayers. Knowing that the government has absolutely no respect for the rule of law, and that angle, what gives you continued confidence as you move forward in this process, Dave, that you're going to come out successful?
Well, first of all, I tend to be a very confident individual to begin with. I don't think I could be in this venue if I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Secondly,
and you got the gab, Dave.
Sadly, I found that doesn't get me too far in a court of law. But here's the thing. I'm not really good at being a victim of extortion or fraud. It just doesn't sit well with me. So I hear the outro music. You know, if you'd like, when we get back, I'll tell you why I just can't walk away from this thing.
Well, you've done this before. And we are going to cut away to a commercial break. And thank you for picking up on that. Folks, we're going to be right back. Go grab something warm to drink and stay with us.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, comrades, we're back. Sit down and get comfortable. You know, I think we need to clarify something, Dave, before we go any farther. Because a lot of people out there that don't know what we're talking about. talking about exactly need to hear the fact that in this instance, we're not talking about any violations of any statute. Otherwise, the proceedings against Dave would have begun with an indictment and not a civil complaint seeking injunction and further disclosure. A matter that, curiously, the folks at Quatloos seem unable to get their minds around. Instead, one would have to notice that it is their intent to have you, Dave, and others by extension, hew to federal regulations, which a growing number recognize are merely pronouncements of a huge bureaucratic monstrosity whose authority would be rightfully limited to entities within a very limited jurisdiction, one that most Americans do not find themselves inside. Now, I think Jenny threw a very important question your way, and if you'd like, we can get her to fire it up again and throw it at you.
Yeah, I had asked you, Dave, why do you have so much optimism as you move forward when we all recognize that the United States government has absolutely no respect for the rule of law?
Well, I guess I hold the view that the truth, if presented vigorously and accurately and without fear and in a cause which is morally sound, will always trump evil.
Yeah, I when I was talking to my husband this morning, as I was driving through rush hour traffic and thinking about today's interview with you, we were talking about that very issue, and some of us that move forward, move into the spotlight and with a complete disregard to consequence, not in that we don't prepare, we aren't knowledgeable about our own issues so that we make sure that when we do have our day in court, it's something that's premeditated and well thought out. We have no choice but to fight this battle, because I'm certainly not going to sit around and accept life as a slave to the federal government. It isn't in me to do that. I must fight until dead. But I love the way you do it with such an affirming confidence. And I wonder a bit, Dave, I'm sure you found this to be true, that all publicity is good publicity. And for the government to have attempted to come after you 3 years ago and failed can only have helped you in getting your message out more broadly. And it will be interesting to watch what happens this time. I would imagine that this go-round with the federal government will also help you and continue to invigorate and enthuse the American, that portion of the American public that's tired of being tax slaves.
Yes. If I persevere in this and I win, excuse me, it obviously would be a tremendous victory for freedom of speech, for, as Jerry pointed out, freedom of contract, outside of this little closed circle that the government calls tax law, because it really, that's what they're doing. The government is saying, if an American believes X, but that they're not within Congress's jurisdiction concerning Subtitle A, which people typically call income tax, if somebody feels that way, and they go to another American citizen and say, hey, share some experience with me, because remember, I don't have any authority over those people. I'm just sharing some experience with them. So they say, share some experience with me that you have attained that would help me live successfully in the status that I have determined, based on my research, I accurately possess or belong within. I would like to do that successfully. Can you give me some pointers, some guidance? Can you guide me along that path of success so that I'm not having to reinvent the wheel and learn all these difficult lessons for myself? But can I have the benefit of your nearly two decades of experience in this area? Sure, okay, here's some of my experience. Now the government's coming along and saying, oh, no.
Hey, Dave, I hate to jump in here because you were fired up. We got to cut away to another break. We'll be right back.
Gold.